Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read again from Daniel, but a different chapter, chapter 5. Last week, we read out of Daniel 6, and this week, out of Daniel chapter 5. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet, and he gave orders to bring the gold and the silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple of God. And as they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, of iron, of wood and stone. Suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall. The king watched as the hand wrote, and his face turned pale. And he was so frightened that his knees knocked together and his legs gave way. And then all the king's wise men were brought in to interpret what the writings meant, but they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant. So King Belshazzar became even more terrified, and his face grew more pale. The queen told him to bring in Daniel, a man with a keen mind and knowledge, and who had the spirit of holy God in him, and the ability to interpret dreams and solve difficult problems. So Daniel was brought before the king to read this writing. He read it and told Belshazzar, "You have not humbled yourself before God. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. For you have defied the Lord of heaven and have had all these gold and silver cups from his temple brought before you. You have not honored the God who gives you the breath of life and controls your destiny." "This is what these words mean," Daniel said. "God has numbered the days of your reign and has brought it to an end. You have been weighed on the balances and have not measured up. And your kingdom has been divided and will be given to the Medes and the Persians." The last few weeks, we've been looking at integrity through the life of Daniel, through Charlie Brown, and Kermit the Frog. We saw that it requires an honest, introspective look inside. Today, let's take another look at Daniel and a king who preceded King Darius, a king by the name of Belshazzar, and the integrity, character, and action that God expects from us in our lives and with all he entrusts us with. We live in a world that glamorizes luxury, stuff, comfort, image, celebrity, winning, and wealth as important. We allow it into our homes through magazines, through televisions, movies, and the things we acquire and build. And then we look around and wonder in disbelief what's going wrong in our society. King Belshazzar glamorized all of that too. At the banquet, they were praising gods of silver and gold and bronze, etc., not the God of all creation. It was an integral part, this glamorization of other things, of these other gods, integral part of Belshazzar's life, but it wasn't pleasing to God. And as we saw, it cost him. And it led to that knee-knocking message written by an unknown hand on the wall of the great banquet hall of the royal palace, where everyone was gathered for another night of excessive revelry. King Belshazzar was startled by the handwriting on the wall, and Daniel was summoned by the king as the one who could interpret these writings and explain dreams and some of the difficult problems of the day. Daniel was promised by the king that if he could explain the writing that had been written by the fingers of the hand on the wall of the king's palace, that he would be clothed in purple and gold, a sign of royalty, and be made the third ruler of the kingdom. Any interpretation from Daniel probably would have easily sufficed. Daniel could have said something that made the king feel better. No one would have known except Daniel and the integrity that he had with the God he served, because no one else knew what the writings meant or could read them. So Daniel had the unmitigated gall to stand there before King Belshazzar, who, like so many today, defined his worth by the number of things he had, the people he controlled, and the power he wielded. And Daniel let fly with the truth as to what was actually written on the wall. Daniel told the king that the writing on the wall was about the king's life. And he said that the king had defiled and dishonored the living God, that his heart was hardened against God, and as a result, God was bringing his reign to an end. God found him lacking in serving God, and God had also determined how all his stuff and his kingdom would be taken and divided up and even given to others. In fact, that night, King Belshazzar was slain, and his kingdom that he had been entrusted with was taken from him and was turned over to Darius. King Darius then would become familiar to us as one of the key characters in the story of Daniel in the lion's den that we talked about in chapter 6 last week and week before. And we saw Darius learn about and embrace Daniel's God through the integrity of Daniel's relationship with his God. King Belshazzar, though, was not so fortunate. Even though at the end of his life he had a lot of stuff, money, power, image, and fame, all the stuff that the world says is important. But what good did it do him? Look, I've said before, and I want to be very clear, there is nothing wrong with stuff, power, and fame, with resumes, trophies, winning, and awards, as long as they don't become the gods we serve, as long as they don't become the idols we worship, against which we measure our worth and then spend our lives chasing after them. As long as we remember that it all comes from the hand of God and are to be used to bless and help others for their good and for God's glory. Just as God told Abraham years earlier, as recorded in Genesis 12, "I will bless you," God said, "so that you will be a blessing to others." God expects the same from us. Because at the end of it all, if life to you is all about stuff, awards, and recognition, what will you have left and what will you have left behind when your body is lowered into the ground? King Belshazzar had all the things that he desired and that the world sought after, but what difference did it make in the end and in the lives of the people around him? Were they better off because of all he had? Did he use it for their good? Where did it get him in the end? And at the end of our lives, what will we have left behind? What will we have built into our children? At the end of it all, will your life be remembered by a desire to keep up with the world or to serve the Lord and make a difference with all that he has entrusted you with in the lives of those around you? Will others be better off because you lived? What will you have written onto the walls of their lives with yours for here and for eternity? Or will your life reflect a never-ending marathon of having to do, to acquire, and achieve more and more so someone will finally tell you that you're really something special or that they love you? It's a never-ending treadmill, my friends. Trust me, I was on it for years from childhood, seeking affirmation for all the wrong reasons and in all the wrong places. And the sad part of that I learned after many wasted years of chasing and waiting is that God had already told us, me and you, that we are something very special, just as he created us. The God who sent his son for us because he loves us and reminds us in the Gospel of John, at chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loves us so much, he sent his only son for us, for you and for me." And with the peace and power of that affirming love, God calls us to do the same for others, to sacrifice, to help, to lift them to a better place and to a better life, to use the gifts, abilities, and resources he has entrusted and blessed us with to expand his kingdom and to make an eternal difference in the lives of others around us so that their lives here are better and they are able to reach their full potential. What will your spouse or that other special person in your life, your children and friends, remember about you? Perhaps the size of your house and your bank account, your trophies, or the number and make of your cars? Maybe. But what will they really need to remember from you? Isn't it really the touch of your hand and your heart on their life or on the life of another in a troubled moment, in a time of need, that you were there when someone needed you, when they needed you? Will they remember all the stuff you left behind or didn't leave behind? Or will they remember that with every breath you breathed, you honored the God who set the stars in the sky, the God who gave you breath, and the God who set the course of your life. By following his example and changing lives with him, won't they remember that? That's the direction we should want our lives to take, so that with every breath you breathe, others will see that you tried to make the life of someone else better. More importantly, though, God will see it and know it when you and I stand before him one day. King Belshazzar had it all, but he had nothing. What will the hand of God write on the walls of your life about you and what you did with your life? What will his hand write about me? What do we want his hand to write about us and the way we lived our lives? How many lives will we have written our names on for God and to assure their place with him for eternity? What would God want us to do? The answers to some questions, well, it seems to me they're just obvious, aren't they? I suspect that what God will write on the walls of my life will be what he saw and watched me write on the walls of those lives all around me, who he always calls me to serve and bless with him and for him. And it may be the same for you. May I suggest then that we begin today to make sure we live our lives that way, lives that honor and love God, lives which love and lift those around us to a better place, so that when others read the writing on the walls of our lives one day, we'll be glad that they did. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for another reminder of what you call us to in life. Through Belshazzar, the writing on the walls, we saw that he wasn't following you. Help us, Lord, to live lives so that when you write on the walls of our lives, we'll be glad other people are reading that writing. Help us to write our lives, the lives you want us to write, the lives that honor and glorify you, on the lives of everyone around us so that their lives are eternally better, so that they come closer to knowing you and come to know you, and so they too live their lives that glorify and honor you and touch the world around us for you and with you. In your Son's precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.